Morning, everyone. Morning. She had to put that in there, isn't it? That's a good one. And it's also part of getting straight into the message about the weaker in faith and the strong in faith. So what she just did there, she was now the stronger in the faith. I changed my ways and I was here early, right? So... but check this out. It is, I'm so glad she did that, because this chapter is about the weak in the faith and the strong in the faith. These two concepts. And sometimes we might be in both of them at times, and sometimes we're stronger in one and we're a bit weaker in the other one. But there's power in weakness, because God's power is always perfected in weakness. But it's how we view weakness. See, because I always want to improve. If somebody tells me to change certain things, then I'm thinking like, but this is to for the harmonizing, or this is for the unity of the bigger picture. Then I'll do it. So I came not even 10:15. I came 10:10. Just to chuck it in there. Just to chuck it in there. To show that this is phenomenal. You know, Romans chapter 14, if we go into... Romans chapter 14, boom, boom. Okay, we'll be done 5:30. Is that great? Get it. So, Romans chapter 14, I was just mulling over this chapter. I study different than other people. Some people do like 15 hours of study, 20 hours of study in the Word. But for me, my study goes from the moment I know what I need to preach, and it's every day where I'm beginning to look for those things in my own life as well. It's not just about preaching to you, but it's about how do I show up in my own life and how do I improve? Maybe because I'm a life coach as well, and it's all about how do you improve yourself? Where are you? Are you self-aware? Are you actively listening to people, trusted people around you? How can you become better? And it's not just for you, but it is for the community. It's all about the community. The title this morning is Living in Harmony, Embracing Differences in the Faith. Roz was saying there about, she prayed about living in harmony with the Word of God. And so here we are today, like many of us come from different backgrounds, we come from different places, we got different upbringings. And so all of us come into one space here this morning with so many different views and so many different perspectives and so many different ways of how we do it. I'm just so glad that this chapter, Paul is talking to the church again about the Jewish people and the Gentiles, and he's now again encouraging them again to love one another, to embrace each other's differences and accept each other. And Romans 12, 13 talks about this love, talks about being unified together. And you know what I was saying to Alex and to Perry this morning? I wish if Paul was here today and he had to pastor a church with all the complications, I said, brother, can we just go out to accost us and I'll get you some lemon drizzle cake as well. You've been through some stuff. You've been through all these complications, and he constantly encourages the church. And in this chapter, there's only three things that really happens here. It's about the issue of food, vegetables, vegetarians, all of that, you know, who eats meat? Why do you eat meat? The issue is about food. It's about the days, the holidays, the day of the Lord, and also it's about drinking. These are the three issues that Paul is actually addressing to the church. And he's like encouraging them, if we do these things and we come against each other all the time, it will cause division. Some food and drink will cause division. Wow. And even in our day, there's so many things. That's why we have so many denominations. We believe this and we believe in you have a drummer. We don't have a drummer. We have a pianist. And if you, oh, who's playing guitar? We don't play guitars in our church. All these things, that's utterly nonsense. That's how I see it, just absolute nonsense. If you love Jesus and your life reflects his nature, his purpose, his culture, and you reflect that to people who you love, I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I mean, I've been all over. I've been in ministry for more than 15 years. Senior leadership. And even in senior leadership, the bickering that goes on in meetings. Oh, my days. I would pray, Lord Jesus, get me out of here. Just all the indifferences. I believe this. You believe this. You believe this. Listen, if we get into the word harmonizing, living in harmony with the word of God, the only time when I married my wife 14 years ago, I said to her, I'm an African. You British. I live in your country. And I adopt your values and I adopt your culture. But there's certain things about your culture that I am not interested in. And there's certain things about my culture that you are not interested in. So we have to find the culture of the kingdom. And that's where we move from. That's where we take that flight and we go together. Because what's going to happen? If she says something, then I'm going to push a button too. And she pushes a button, I push a button, you don't tell me. And it was like that in the beginning of the marriage. Until the Lord says, no, it's about two is better than one. It's about harmonizing, and it's about there's differences, but there are the greater good, and then there's the lesser good. There are certain things that's greater, and that's certain, and sometimes it changes. So Paul has got this issue to the church, and it's the Jews and the Gentiles wrestling about these three things. But verse 17 and verse 19 is what I want us to just look at quickly. And then I'll share more about these things that's happening even in the church today. There's so many things that are happening in the church. I mean, there's some places that say, oh, Ricardo doesn't have a tie on this morning, so therefore he's really putting me off. Oh, how I wish. Oh, how I wish. You know, I believe you've got to have a jacket on. Okay. All these things, it's just, you know. So some people be like, oh, I couldn't listen to him this morning. Oh, and then they go and tell their friend and their friend's friend, and then they have a coffee and a cake about what he didn't wear this morning. Did you get the word? Did you get the word? Did you get the memo? Did you get the word? In verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but living in a life of, in this one, is living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about not what you're going to eat and drink. It's about the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's it. And if we can move from that place, righteousness mean to be in right standing with the government, to be in right standing with Jesus, whatever Jesus is saying. Now, I know that if Jesus was here and I'm rocking up without the tie, he's going to be like, yeah, he's back. Can't wait to hear what you got to say. There's nothing about ties. There's nothing about external stuff. It's about what is it? Righteousness, being in right standing with God. And we're going to actually see in this where it's about what type of food. The person that eats meat, the person that eats vegetables, the weaker one, the stronger one. I didn't eat veggies. My mom told me back in the day, you got to eat veggies. It makes you very clever, Ricardo. I'm like, nah. When I became a teenager, I say, you're lying. It doesn't make me clever. When I came to the UK, oh my goodness, you are serious about your veggies and serious about your salads. So I eat the salads. I love the salads. When I go back home, then they would say, what are you doing, Ricardo? What is this?
Rabbit food.
We eat, yes, exactly, rabbit food. Exactly. Rabbit. Eat meat. You must eat meat. I said, hey, how about that you can have both? You see what I mean? It's like one says this, the other one says this, and we're standing for it, and we're marching, dude. Listen, God loves both of us. God loves both of us. The thing is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's all what it is about. And it says, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Boom, there's it. But I know if I was in Africa preaching like this, they will have a suit for you by the door. Man of God, we want to hear what the Lord is going to say. You're going to put us off. So when I came to the UK, it was about like in Africa, it's like, We used to wear, like, even up today, the pastors wear those pointy shoes that's so shiny and it's like leopard skins and all of this stuff and suits that is like the waistcoat is amazing. And then they have their entourage and all these brothers next to them, you know, and the bodyguards and all of this. And it's like, that's it. When I came to the UK, I was like, the pastors are wearing polo t-shirts and cargo pants and flip-flops. How does that work? But I know that if they go over to Africa and preach the amazing message of God, they're not going to receive you. What is this? This is not Spain. This is not the Greece. Ibiza. This is the word of, this is God's day. That's what they said to me. And the Lord's day. The Lord's day is always a Sunday. The Lord's day is not Monday till Sunday, Saturday. The Lord's day is always Sunday. And so some people say, you know, should church be on a Saturday because, you know, 7-day Adventists, they got that. And it's just all these kinds of stuff. Listen, every day is the Lord's day. And you choose what Sabbath you want to take. So now imagine if I go to Africa and I preach like this and I teach like this, they say, ah, he's been away for too long. He's lost it. He's lost it. It's these issues that Paul is addressing in the church. And we still have that today. In our convictions, if our convictions are not tied in with the Word of God, then it's just your opinion. Right? It's just an opinion. Our conscience should be based on the Word of God. And that's why I can now go to Africa and say, if you don't want me to preach like this, then it's okay. It's okay, no problem. Because it's not about these external things. It's your opinion and your preference. That's it. But what we sometimes do, we make our preferences law. Wherever we go, this is law, this is what we do, this is what we do. And it's like some, it's just weird. I've come from different denominations. Oh, now you, Ricardo, clap too much if you're in the Pentecostal. You know, you do all that stuff. And then we come to the Baptist and then it's just a chill out. Worshipping Jesus, chilling out. Both groups of people love Jesus. That's what I'm interested in. They love Jesus. And the more you sit with them, the more you discover they love Jesus. So to harmonize, it's important that we understand each other. To understand each other. But to go back, verse 1, accept other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or is wrong. Basically what he says, like the weak in faith, the strong in faith, the strong in faith were the Gentile believers. Because the Gentile believers didn't have excess baggage of the Old Testament and all these laws, which now today we don't need to do anymore. Most of those requirements, we don't need to do it anymore. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, and Deuteronomy 14, you'll find out what is unclean, what is clean, and all of that stuff. And in the times, what God did there was just an object lesson. It was about separating yourself unto holiness. Right? Jesus died, the veil is torn from top to bottom, and all of us have access into the holies of holies. We don't need a priest now to go once a year on behalf of our sin. The Bible says, enter his throne with boldness. Come before his throne with confidence. It's open. We don't need anyone. I will tell the priest, go on holiday, brother. We've got access. We don't need you now, but this is what in the Old Testament. So the Jewish people, they were very serious about their, you know, this is what it says, and you need to wear this, you need to. To a point where they started making their own traditions. It was law, and then they make their own traditions as well. Can you see the complication that's happening here? So the weak in faith were the Jewish people because they had all these things. But you should be doing this. You should wear a tie. You should this. You know, how can you preach like that? You need to stand behind the mic all the time. And I can't because I need to move. I like moving. Yeah, but you move too much. Just box him in. Box him in. Box him in. It's like, do you want to hear the word of God? Or don't be so focused on what I'm doing. Hear what God is saying through the word of God. Can you see? So the weak in faith, so it says, accept other believers who are weak in faith. I've coached so many people, and as a pastor, mentored so many people, young people. Today, even, some of them are 25, 26, that I still mentor. And you've seen them growing from faith to faith, from strength to strength. It's not an overnight thing. And most of those young people, oh my days, as they were talking to me, lots of rubbish. When they were like, I know what I know. It's like, no, you got zeal, but no knowledge. But I can't say to them, you know, finger pointing, is to love them through it, accept them, but also showing them that, hey, let's look at the scripture. Any correction that I bring to anyone who are a believer, I will point the scripture to them. Not my own opinion, it's just scripture. Remember, I come from Africa, I've been in America ministering in the UK. So you go to different places, the only thing that will harmonize us together is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. So my wife started becoming very clever. If I did something wrong, the sister will go to the Word. Doesn't 1 Peter 2 say? And I know, here it is. Because I love the Word, now it still cuts because God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So she tells me, listen, you need to just be open to what God is doing. And she gives scripture. And I'm like, thank you so much. I love that. That's true. That's the Word of God. Because like Ross was saying, living in harmony with the Word of God. So we have the weak and we have the strong. But then it talks about the foods, about meat. Some people eat meat, some people don't eat meat. Some people say the most important thing here is do not let your brother or sister stumble. I like my steak. I put a little bit of, you know, a little bit of salad on the side. Just so my brother can see, like, oh, at least he eats salad. Do you know what I mean? But when it causes my brother and sister to stumble, when I know that they don't eat meat because of for various reasons, I can't now come with an attitude that says, you do you and I do me. I'm causing my brother or sister to stumble. And it's about unifying. Now, what I do then, I said, chuck me some of those salads, right? And put some salad dressing on there because some of them are too dry for me, right? So we eat, but as soon as I get home, I do my salad. I do my steak and my chips. But away from them. You see what I mean? How it's about Paul is saying, don't come because you were Jewish and this is the Gentiles. Even in Acts chapter 10, remember when Peter had this vision of a sheet coming down with all these animals on, and God is showing him. So the sheet comes down and it's unclean. And God says to him, pray, get up, pray, everything is clean. As a Jewish believer, no, it's unclean. Listen to this, it's unclean. So servants got sent to Peter on that day. Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, sent his men to Peter. Peter gets this vision three times, and Peter was perplexed. He's like, this can't be true, because the law says this. Listen to that. The law says this. The Lord gave him a vision three times. He canceled it. And then the Lord gave him another vision, say, get ready, three men will come to your house. Look at that. And these are Gentiles that's coming to your house. Non-Jewish people. These are the unbelievers, sometimes people that we encounter in our workplaces who don't think like we think. They might be weak, but Galatians 6 says, if your brother or sister stumble or fall, you that are spiritually matured should help such a one in the spirit of gentleness and respect. So he gets this vision from God, and then before he knows it, there's these three guys say, hey, we are sent by the Roman centurion. He wants to come, he wants to invite you to eat something. He gets there, and there is, and God says, you eat whatever they give. The Gentiles, believers, more people got saved that day because God said to him, go. Everything that I'm giving you is clean. Now, he could have said, no, I'm going to call some of my Jewish brothers and we're going to go to that house and we're going to debate with them like Speaker's Corner in London. Let's debate. It's no debate. The greater good was for more people to get to know Jesus. And Peter was willing to obey. And that is what changed everything here. For it's about accepting one another. All of us accepting. Chapter 12 of Romans 13 and 14, it talks about the love of God. Love one another. Loving someone, that means that we don't keep record of any wrongs. 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't boast. Love always wins people back. For God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16, his only begotten Son, in whomsoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's another thing that I find here about the Sabbath. My Sabbath is Tuesdays. That's the time I'm consciously giving my time to God. Tuesday. Now, if I said it in Africa, they'd be like, ah, how you give Tuesday to God? Ah, what about the Sunday? That's when you start with God. Tuesday is the day. I'm not saying it should be your day. I'm just saying it's my day with the Lord. You know, that is, and then also the drinking bit. Let me give you another one. Is drinking wine wrong? Don't put up your hands because that will be a debate and I don't have a lot of time. But just get what I'm trying to say. So in Africa, I grew up in a house where a lot of my family, Monday till Thursday, I say, Jesus, if you could just stop it on Thursday, I don't care about the weekends. But don't let there be weekends in my house. Because these people drink till they drop. There's no, in moderation, the way some of you guys are doing it in this nation, moderation. They drink till they drop. So there's every week fights going on, losing control. So I said, I don't want to drink in my life. I don't want to drink. I don't like it. Weekends is always disaster. So I said, I don't want to drink, right? When I met my wife, my girlfriend at the time, we went to the pub. And now the sister, she orders a cider in black. I said, my goodness, I'm going to marry an alcoholic. I said, Jesus, please. Remember, because of my circumstances, that's the first thing. All my days, doesn't mean I now need to drag her out and say, come on, get in the car. And she said she just had one. And I was thinking, what's happening here? Because there's nothing wrong with drinking wine. There's something wrong with being drunk. That's it. Nothing wrong with drinking wine. And then I start drinking a red wine with food. And I was like, I like this. But in Africa, when my family or friends would see me just drinking red wine, they says, we've sent him to UK with fire. Now he comes back with ashes. This brother has lost it. Can you see what I mean? How when people's perceptions and the way they see things, they make it law. The Bible doesn't say nothing about wine being bad. It talks about being drunk. There it is. It's clear. So if somebody's getting mad at me, why are you drinking wine? I said, because the Lord says it's okay. I'm not going to get drunk. But no. I want you to do what I think you should be doing. So why do you condemn one another in verse 10? Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, the Lord knows, every knee will bow and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Not your salvation here. It's talking about now the context of the church. The food, the drink, the day, when the day should be, all that disputes there. God says, I'm going to come back to Lisbon, and when you stand and say, where have you been? You've been in Lisbon Baptist Church. Now I want to hold you accountable for how you treated the people that I've given you. That's the accountability. That's what we need to give an account for. How many people did you go and gossip about when you left the church? That thing will come up. There will be a massive big screen LED lights in heaven, and it will come on. What do we say then? Did you live in harmony with your brothers and sisters? Oh my days, I should have called Jackie to tell her about so-and-so, and we gossip about them. We have to give an account for that. Because we've broken the disunit. There's a divide. Don't you? It's a nice scripture today. Nice message today. Don't worry. It says, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. That's it. It's about how do you journey with somebody? Active listening, growing in understanding, and have the culture of Ubuntu. Do you know why it's easy for me to be to change and listen to what people are saying to me? It's because I grew up in a culture where it's about us and not about me, and it's not about you. If I'm causing you to stumble, tell me. Don't gossip about me. Tell me, hey, and this is now for the bigger picture. Ubuntu means I am because we are. So I've got that concept in my mind. I want to be part of a winning team. Because when I stand before Jesus, he will ask me, what did I do with every opportunity he has given me? Did I make people better, or are people more discouraged by my preferences? I want us to be in a better place. And so you can go and read Mark chapter 7. It talks about the traditions there. And it talks about in Matthew 23, verse 13, where now the Pharisees and the religious leaders, not only do they have the law, Alex, now they bring their own traditions in. Traditions like now you need to wear a tie. And if you don't wear a tie, the power of God won't be. The presence of God won't come on you. Those sort of things. But Matthew 23, 13 says, Jesus says to the Pharisees, woe unto you. Now that's it's not a polite thing, woe unto you. It's a very, I don't know if it's cursing or swearing. I don't know. It's just woe unto you. He meant very strongly, woe unto you. And then Jesus says to the Pharisees that you convert people into your traditions, right? Then you shut the door of the kingdom. Remember, it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about the kingdom. You shut the door of the kingdom in their faces. You don't allow them to enter, and you yourself don't enter in. So there's disunity. You convert people, but into what? Into your traditions. And Jesus is saying, woe unto you. It's not what it's about. It's about, if you don't want to go in, at least let them go in. So this is the traditions of man. And I had many times in South Africa, people come up with their own traditions. I don't know if they had too many cakes or tea. I don't know, just weird. Next Sunday they come with weird stuff. I said, no, that's your traditions. You believe that. There are good traditions, but there are also bad traditions. You guys do your traditions, your Christmas traditions, amazingly. When you like your what is this? Your sock with stuff in, and then you get your onesies, and you got your socks. And that's a good tradition. Do you know why? Because it brings the family together. Any tradition that brings people together for the right reasons, that's a good tradition to have. But if it causes people not to harmonize, then I'm not interested in that. Then we're not interested in that. And that is what God was saying to me to tell you guys today. It's about this unity, harmonizing. And if there are disputes in the church, go to that person that you have something against. Don't call a friend. Get the courage and go to that person and says, hey, I'm coming in love and gentleness. I've seen that you've done this. And according to Matthew so-and-so, this is what it says. Don't come with your own stuff. Come with, because you care for them. But this is my thing. When people don't come to me and I find out from 10 other people that you said what you said about me, then I'm going to be mad at you. Now we need to deal with two problems. Because you're causing me to be disconnected to you. And that is what I've been through the last couple of years. People jealousy and envy and all of that stuff. Being jealous about my gift and all of this. And I'm thinking people making decisions that has caused me to not be in a good place in my life. And so you've got leaders and you think, jealousy and envy. I'm here to edify the body. You here to bless it. You here to pastor. You here to, all of us are together. What's the point? And then those pastors had to leave their churches. And it's because there will be accountability. Now, I still call them and say, hey, if you need prayer, I will pray for you and I will guide you and help you. Because I know it's still about harmonizing and embracing each other's differences. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace, mercy. Thank you for LBC. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing amazing things in our lives, Father. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, even as sometimes we are the weak in faith and sometimes we're the strong in faith. And I pray, Lord, that in both, Lord, that we will accept the ones who are weak and the ones that's weak will accept the ones that are strong. And, Father, I thank you that there is no division anymore, that you have caused the Jew and the Gentile to be one new man under God. And so, Father, we thank you so much, Father. It is about the bigger picture. All these little indifferences doesn't mean nothing. But, Lord, we pray that we will be a people, Lord, that stand together and go to one another and share the love of God with one another and your principles. And so, Father, I speak your blessing over this church. And I pray, Lord, as we harmonize together and embracing our differences, Father, that we will see your kingdom come in Lisbon, in the nation of Wales, and across the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.